Man, I'm pretty good at holding doors open, but I don't know why you want to hear from me with that kind of worship that we just did, singing. What a treasure you young people are, not so young anymore, but young people are, leading worship here. I hope that you as a congregation know what a blessing it is to have that kind of worship that just vibrates my soul. I'm sitting in the front row here for the fourth worship service of the day. And some of it's because I don't have to do anything except stand up and talk. But also just the richness of your worship is moving. And I thank you very much for your leadership there. And I just want you to keep going. Ditch what I have to say. Hopefully it's what the Lord has to say. I'd invite you to join me as I open in prayer. Heavenly Father, let it be your words, not my words, that are spoken today. Let it be your thoughts and the vibrations from your heart that penetrate each one of our minds and hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't have a lot in this world that's precious. I have a checking account like most people and a couple of older cars. But maybe the most precious thing I have, that at least as far as the earthly standards are concerned, are a little gold, white gold ring. I don't know, when we got married, it was maybe $700. I have no idea. I see these gold commercials where you can send in your stuff. I think my wife would get me in trouble if I sent that in. It's probably not worth that much, not that big. Gold is precious. We have other things in our lives that increase in value in the human element. Silver is down the scale. Platinum is up the scale. Diamonds are somewhere way up the scale. But there is no resource that in the end is as precious as time. Time is one of those things, as time teachers on the subject say, is a given for every one of us. We each get 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, as we divide them up. And nobody gets any more, no matter how tall or short or strong or weak, no matter how rich or poor, everybody gets 24 hours. There are commercials made about, if only I could buy just a little more time. Because it's one of those resources that is what it is and no more. And when it's gone, it's gone. It's a non-renewable in the sense that you can't recreate it. As we get going on this new year, as January pushes towards February, that's what I'd love to talk a little bit about this day, is about our use of time and how we as Christians take a look at our daytimes, or maybe our daytimers, and we say, how am I filling in those days? How am I choosing to spend that time that God has allotted me individually to spend? Because I think that as Christians, we have to make sure that God gets the first say as to how I spend my time. In the same way that hopefully I take the finances I get, and God gets a first fruit of the finances I get, in very similar and even more way, I should think, how is God getting the first fruits of my time? How is God governing what happens with my schedule? I am just making the switch from paper daytimer to electronic. And every once in a while, I'll think, oh, I forgot to put that in my new daytimer. So I'll... This, I open up in the morning and it tells me what I'm going to do today. And the question is, has God gotten His shot at this yet? Each day? Or is it all me? Or is it all the church? Or is it all somebody or something else? Scripture passage I picked out today comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 17. And I'll love to read it to you from the New International Version. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Verse 10. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. May God bless this reading of His inconceivable word. I was walking through the hall as a teenager in a little church in North Seattle, and there was a poster on the wall, and it was a picture of a skateboarder. And the caption that somebody in our church, it was a hand-drawn poster, quite good, the caption said, "If you're coasting, you're going downhill." Much like a river, if you just hop in, you're going to go the direction of the flow. And what I want to remind us this morning is that if you just let your days happen as days happen, as the world around you is going, you're going in the wrong direction. Because the world is, as this text says, evil. The days are evil by themselves. So unless we make some kind of effort in making them better, we're going to end up spending time the way it shouldn't be spent or wasting it. The modern era, which is to some degree past us, for several hundred years said, you know, man is basically good, and if we could just give him enough education, enough money, and a good upbringing, people would turn out good, and we could do away with poverty, and we could do away with war, and we could do away with violence against each other, dot, dot, dot. And the modern era proved itself to be wrong. Because no matter how much you try and give people something good, we inside have a sin nature. We are darkness before we know Christ. And so you can't just dress up darkness and have it be good. Darkness is darkness. And as this text begins, it says, you were once darkness. And for those who don't know Christ, they live in darkness. And what happens is not naturally going to flow towards good. It's going to naturally flow towards bad. It's a frustrating movie for me to watch, The Lord of the Flies. Have you seen that and read that story? Plunk these educated schoolboys down on an island, and they regress societally. They become cannibalistic almost, as opposed to just sort of banding together and doing good. They become violent and coarse. Instead, here's these educated boys who know better. But it's what sin does to us. It's what our natural flow of life does to us. The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 14 through 16, the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. If you're a regular Joe that doesn't know Christ, that hasn't been changed from darkness to light, you don't get it. In other words, you're not going to flow towards Christ or flow towards good unless you've had something happen to you. Now, as we know Christ, something's happened. A new creation, the Bible says. Light instead of darkness. So if that's you and me, because we know Christ, then we need to take steps or we're going to spend our time unwisely. After the description of dark and light, the word says, have nothing to do with fruitless deeds. there are some bad deeds it's going to mention too. But I think when I hear that about just the wasted time that Tim Carlson does all too often. You ever start watching a television show or a movie and you think, oh, this is kind of dumb, and you try and channel surf around and you can't find anything, and then you end up sitting there for another hour and 50 minutes watching that dumb show that we would have found almost anything else to watch if there had been something else on, and then you just threw the time away at that mediocre thing. It happens with television. It probably happens with books and with people too. But that's the picture I want to have. I don't want to just say, oh, well, I have nothing else better to do, because there's so much better to do. If I just naturally say, well, I guess I'm floating down this stream, I'll try and keep my head above water, I'm going away from what Christ wants me to do. Doing nothing is bad, just like doing bad things. Frittering away your time is spending it for things that aren't good. You probably remember the parable Jesus told of the master who gives his servants different amounts of talents, money. And some people go out and spend them in ways where they can make some more. The one guy thinks, well, I'm going to be good, I'm just burying mine. And the master is so frustrated, he even takes that small amount away from that person. You wicked slave. Wait a minute, everything you gave me is right here. I didn't do anything bad. Yeah, but you did nothing good either. When I give the testimony of my life as a young person, I was as goody-two-shoes as you could find in the world. I never did anything wrong, mostly because I was too afraid to. Not because my parents were heavy-handed, just I don't know, I just was so shy that I barely came out from underneath my bed, much less my mom's apron. But I didn't do anything good either. I could say all those memory verses that they had for us in church, but I didn't serve Christ, I didn't preach. I didn't serve anybody. I just was quiet and walked to school, walked home, do my homework, walked back to school, walked home. Didn't talk. Nobody around me got blessed by the presence of God in me. I just was quiet. It's just as bad as doing, you're still squandering the good thing that God has given you or me in time. There are those shameful deeds too that we don't need to go through individually, but we all know what they are. There's plenty of stuff that we get involved in that we wish we didn't do. Sometimes those are deeds on the outside that if we looked at them, we could say, you shouldn't be doing that. A lot of times they're deeds on the inside. They're the way we think about something. The story told of a little boy who kept wanting to stand up on the pew in church. And his mom kept sitting him down, saying, you stay sitting. And he would stand back up. Finally, the mother said, if you do that one more time. And the boy sat down. And he said, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. The great thing about your and my God is that He knows right what you're thinking on the inside. And you can look pretty good on the outside and be pretty rotten on the inside. Amen? Yikes. I hate that. I can't get away with anything. The combination of those two, standing, wasting time, and being overt about our sin and our use of time, comes to a head in the story of David and Bathsheba. King of Israel, man after God's own heart, ends up with not enough to do, no programs on television, and so he ends up on his balcony looking around. And then the overt sin comes in and ends as a result in murder and brokenness and the death of a child. If we don't choose to do good, the world will take us bad. choose to do good. The Scripture continues quoting an Old Testament passage, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Wake up. If you're somebody who has been cruising along in cruise control thinking, well, man, I can just barely get my stuff done every day. I can just barely stay ahead of homework, barely stay ahead of the housework, barely stay ahead of my job. I'm just barely getting everything done. Tim, leave me alone. I don't have enough time as it is. You loading me up. I think what the Lord would say is, wake up and do something about it. Don't just let the world take you where it's going to go. Don't just coast, but make a decision and decide what you're going to do and decide how you're going to spend your time rather than just letting it happen to you. I don't want to be one of those people like the disciples who, I know they have been exhausted. I know they have been through the ringer. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, they just can't stay awake when the Lord really needs them most. You guys, wake up. I really need you. You guys, pray with me, will you? Oh, yeah, sure. I want to be somebody who's asleep at the wheel when God has something for me to do. And it's going to take some effort for me to not just fall asleep and be asleep at the wheel. We are children of light. We are the light. Recognize who God has made you to be and then be that. Shortly after I moved to California, I read an article in the newspaper. I think it's in my file. I clipped it. Didn't think about it till earlier today and didn't have time to go look. It's a story about a lady or man who has won the lottery, and I believe it was a $50 million lottery, but didn't know it. And the article is saying there are 3 days left for so-and-so to claim their $50 million, and nobody has claimed it. What a stupid thing. Can you imagine buying, spending money on that thing, lottery, and then wandering around with it in your pocket? I won! Oh, shoot, I should have redeemed it. It's too late. Can you imagine more empty feeling? If it got past that third day, I hope I never learn about it. Now, I don't buy lottery tickets, but if I did, I'd be checking them the day it came out, because how foolish would it be to get a winner? Yeah, I know you lose every time. That's why I don't buy them. But if you do buy them, look at them on the day they announce the numbers. Because how stupid are you to have one and keep it in your pocket? And how much worse would it be to, after the fact, find out, oh, this was a winner, and I missed the deadline by 24 hours, or 3 days, or 3 weeks. How much more is the gift of light versus darkness than a $50 million lottery ticket? If I've been changed, if I'm a new creation, I'm different in Christ, how foolish is it of me to keep acting like I'm not? If I'm a new person. How sad to be a millionaire and still live like not. And how sad to be a child of light. How sad to be light and still walk like I'm in darkness. Just idiotic. And yet that's the way we all make choices to live a bunch of every day. Most of us. Depends on what the most is what grows and shrinks, depending on who we are, right? There are tons of people, some of them in your own family, waiting to tell you how to spend your time. Are you going to let other people decide, or are you going to stand before your God and say, all right, Lord, how do you want me to do this? I'm awake now. I'm going to choose. How do you want me to spend this precious resource of time? I think it's about verse 15. I love, make the most of every opportunity. I don't think most of you should go quit your jobs. I don't know all of you very well, and maybe a few of you should, but probably you're not. God's not going to call you to quit your job, especially not in this economy. But God would use your time at work differently, probably. God would use your time at home or wherever, at school, wherever it is you spend your time, God would use it a little differently than you would. You might be just letting it sort of go by, yeah, well, I got to do that, so I'm doing that. And God might say, I got a little bit of a twist for you. I had this come home real to me several years ago when a little girl walks up to me after church and hands me a piece of paper. And I stuck it in my Bible because I was rushing someplace. And then I sat down at my desk when the day was done, and I remembered I had this little rip out from a Sunday school thing in there. And the question on the top of the thing says, what is love? What is love? And then the children are supposed to draw something inside the picture to describe what they see love as. And the first thing I see is a picture of an African-American playing soccer. And then it says, Coach Tim. I don't know how I got to be so dark-skinned in that picture. But she was saying, you are love to me when you coach me at soccer. Oh my gosh, I just contributed to a Sunday school lesson with that silly hour and a half I spend running around a soccer field? Yeah. The way I interact with people, the way I live, the way I take every step all day long is a picture of whether I'm light or dark. Am I someone that brings light and love into the world, or am I someone who darkens it with my presence? That's the real question, right? Am I taking every opportunity to do as God would have me to do as opposed to the way the norm would be? Now, definitely, we all should make spaces for special times. I don't know if you have a consistent quiet time every day with God, but you should. You should carve out, even if it's just like 5 minutes, you should have some time where you and God spend time alone. You should also have some time when you read the Bible, probably as part of that same time, when you just listen to God instead of talking, and that would be in Scripture, maybe in silence too. There should be some other times where you make sure over the course of your week or chunks of time that you hang out with other believers, other pieces of light. That those are kind of basic stuff about who we're supposed to be as Christians, right? We all know that. But then there's this other stuff about how I put those things that are more sort of normal looking, that everyone else is doing too, go to school, go to work, drive my car. How do I use those in that tinted way also? My daughter was up in the snow this last week. We happened to be up in the mountains when the storm came. It was a little rough for some of the time. But she borrowed some ski glasses, and when she first put them on, she said, everything looks yellow. And then we took a couple of ski runs, and she goes, Dad, did the color go out of these glasses? What do you mean, honey? Everything looks white. The snow looks white now. Remember I told you it looked yellow? Now it looks white. No, honey, your eyes have just adjusted. No, it's not that. It looks white. Oh. Huh. Because her eyes had become accustomed to looking through this lens that let her see the regular world in a different color scheme. And that's who we're supposed to be as Christians. And that's who we're supposed to do when we look at our day that's ahead. How am I going to live out my day? I have some colored glasses on. And that color is, how would God have me spend that hour, that half hour, that half day, that 8 hour chunk? How would I be living that if I had some glasses on that showed me how Christ would do it? Be careful how you live, God says. In the way, what you choose to do, what you choose not to do, and the specifics about what you choose to do. There's an amazing story that I wasn't around for, so I can't confirm, but I've heard it several different places. I believe it to be true. Martin Luther, the Reformer, is being asked about the second coming, and the Lord may be coming. The question is, let's say you found out today that the Lord was coming back this afternoon. Wow, now that would be spectacular. Yes, it'd be a fun day. And he said, how would you live your life? You've gotten a plan for your day. How would you live your life different now that you know God's going to be here in 8 hours, whatever? And reportedly, Martin Luther said, the way I had planned. Because in his timeline, every day he woke up and said, okay, how would the Lord have me spend this day? What would be the things I would do for God today? And the fact that God was coming at 6:30 that afternoon wouldn't make him change anything, because he would still be all trying to do. There wouldn't be something he'd forgot to do, something he needed to make sure he caught up on. I would need a lot of catching up. I might actually ask if the Lord could wait a week. Could you think we could reschedule for Tuesday of next week? I got a lot I got to catch up on. Wouldn't it be great to be Martin Luther and just say, beautiful. Well, what are you going to do different? Well, I already got my day planned out. Well, I know, but now that you know God's coming, well, yeah. That's what I would have done. Wouldn't it be great to live your life in such a way that the knowledge that the King is here this afternoon would make you go, awesome, yes. But I'll keep plugging away until he does get here, because I've lived my life that way all the time anyways. The Lord could be here at 4 today. When you look back, would you have said, I'd have done something different leading up till 4 o'clock today? Or can you, as I would desire to do, say, perfect. I'm totally set up for that. I'm totally ready. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we'd love you to be in charge of our time, not us. We'd love you to fill in our day timers, to help us to know what's right and best and should be done. Lead us into your truth. Be near us and help us to take control of our days, of all the time we spend, and spend it for you instead of just letting it be spent for us. We love you and ask your blessing on the rest of this day. Amen.
Let's continue praying.